Well, hello everyone. My name is Roger. I'm one of the pastors here at Reality Church. We're so glad you've joined us this morning. August is one of the busiest months I think we have as a staff here, and then also you guys as volunteers, because we rely so much on you guys, and it's just been very busy. There's been so many volunteers behind the scenes the last few weeks, and we're so grateful for that. I was gone a few days earlier this week celebrating one of my grandson's his fourth birthday up in Minneapolis, and when I got back, Sarah Bernier was in the office so much, I thought maybe we'd hired her while I was gone. Ends up, we haven't. She's just another one of our awesome volunteers, and again, we're so grateful for that. So to add to the craziness of this busy season, Lance was homesick pretty much the entire week, but he still wrote most of this message, and now I'm going to deliver it to you. So, you know, in books, they make it really clear when it's co-authored, who writes what, you know, and this, you know, so it's really clear. So I'm going to help you with the key. If I say something that sounds really smart, Lance probably wrote that. If I say something really funny, you're going to know that came from me, okay? All right? Because we all know Lance is smarter and better looking than me, but clearly I'm shorter and funnier than he is. One thing we do have in common is we're both lousy poker players because, well, we all are, because we're showing you our cards, and we're showing them before we even play the hand, and in fact, we're even asking you to play the hand with us, and we got no tricks, there's nothing up our sleeve, we're just turning over our cards, and we're going to use the first few weeks of this ministry season to show you, or really, not just to show you, but to give you a chance to go all in. Okay? Because we want everyone here to go all in. We want you to go all in on our process that we call focus, risk, and impact. Because we believe that if you do, if you go all in, it's going to lead to life change. And you're going to be a different person a year from now than you are right now. Now, the first week of the series, this is week three, the first week Lance talked about focus. Focus is when we place God at the center of our attention. And when we do this, life change is not only possible, it's likely. And Lance talked about how we all have this natural void in us that can only be met with God or by God. And he challenged us to choose what we focus on, to choose what we focus on. Last week, Robert talked about risk and how life change best happens in the context of authentic community. It doesn't happen in isolation. And again, a void has been placed in us by our Creator that can only be filled with community. And so last week, Robert challenged you to quit making excuses and get in a life group, and or get in a group, and he specifically gave you a couple options, life groups, or re-engage, or both. Now, my wife and I have been in life groups ever since the ministry started here at Reality Church over 10 years ago. And I've been the group's pastor for about the past 8 years. So I wanted you to know that even before I was the group's pastor, I was in a life group. And now that Robert Kahn is the group's pastor and I'm the executive pastor, I'm still in a life group. And in fact, my wife and I, our schedule revolves around life groups being on Monday night. And not the other way around. Our schedule doesn't control our life group, okay? Mondays are nights, and we have came back from vacation early to get to life group. I quit a golf league because it was interfering with life group. We have decided that we're going to schedule our life around life group. That's how important it is to us. And now that I am I'm not the group's pastor, let me be very blunt about a couple of excuses I used to hear from you guys that really bugged the snot out of me. Lance wrote that line, by the way. You email him if you don't like that one. So here's one of them I've heard a lot. Life is just so hard right now. We've got so much stuff going on. We just don't have time for life groups. We just can't do it right now. Life's too hard. To which I would say, because going through tough times on your own in isolation is easier than when you have a group to support you. When you're going through tough times, when you feel like you just can't make it to life group, guys, that's when you need to get there. Don't quit. get in a life group and stay in that life group. And another one that just kind of has always really bugged me is it goes along this line. My kids have activities every other night of the week. We just want to be home one night. Then take your kids out of something, okay? It's that simple. Or let them go on their own. They'll be fine. And I know you don't want to hear this, but the chance of your kid being in the Olympics is less than 1/10,000 of 1%. Your chance of needing a group of people to help you get through the tough times in life is 110% guaranteed. And I haven't watched the Olympics for, it feels like a long time, and for some reason this year I just watched a lot of them. And so, when did the Olympians quit wearing clothes? Okay. Like, it's like, I can't watch that event. Oh, can't watch that event. Good grief, I didn't know there was that big of a clothing shortage in Brazil. So we're thinking about starting another project that involves shipping clothes to Olympians. Anyway, so that was way off track, but slightly funny. So you know that I wrote that, right? So whether it's sports or dance or band or whatever extracurricular activity is filling your schedule, remove it and get in a life group. Your kids are going to be fine. And so I know last week Robert tried to nudge you into life groups. I'm now in a position where I'm willing to shove you into life groups kicking and screaming. And if you need any more motivation, go watch the video that's the Sarah Bauer story video that we showed last week. It's on our website. And she still thanks me for pushing her to get into a life group. Guys, get in a life group. And so, here we are at week 3, and we're going to play the impact card. And this week presents somewhat of a problem for Christians, because in Christianity we have this tension. And the tension is between me doing everything I can to make an eternal impact, and the fact that only God can change lives. It's the tension between my responsibility and God's grace. And when I think about the dreams I have for this church and the impact that I think we can make in our community, you know, it sometimes feels presumptuous to think that God is going to use me to do that, like he could use me, or even that he would use me. And it's really easy for me to think of reasons why God won't use me. And, you know, I could list a whole bunch of them. I'll just give you a couple. You know, I mean, the first one is just, frankly, I think about my happiness more than anyone else's. I think about my comfort more than anyone else's. I tend to put me first, but I still, in spite of all of that, I desperately want to make an eternal impact in our community. And we talk about that a lot around here. We talk a lot about making an impact in our community. And when we talk about it, I don't know exactly what you think, but my guess is maybe you've thought this before. You know what? I agree. The church should make an impact. I'm all for that. That's awesome. That's definitely something I can get behind. And then as you listen to us talk, you realize that actually you're the church. And so when we talk about making an impact, we're talking about us individually as a group making an impact, which I know that individual group doesn't make sense grammatically, but you know the point I'm trying to make. And it may have been more clear before I tried to explain it. And then once we realize, oh wait, this eternal impact depends on me, taking that step and trying to do something, and then we start thinking, well, maybe, you know, if God's depending on me to make an impact, How's this going to really happen? We all know our own shortcomings. I mean, quite frankly, I can make fun of me way better than you can make fun of me, because I know all the things I don't do well. I've got great teams, like the team that helps us with the local impact that makes it look like I'm way better than I am. But we all know our shortcomings. And so, and in addition to our shortcomings, we know how many problems there are. We know how much there is to do. So what I tend to do, is just settle into this comfortable life. I try and find contentment in distractions or doing this or doing that. But But real gladness escapes us because we need hope that our lives can be full of meaning, that even people like us can make a real difference. That's what we want to know. We want to know that we can make a difference. And the reason we want to know that, and I'm telling you, you can, is because we are wired to make that difference. We're wired to make a difference. Author and theologian Frederick Buechner he puts it this way. God calls you to that place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need. This is how we're wired. In the beginning, we discover that we have a God-shaped hole in our hearts, and nothing fills it but Him. Then, as we accept His lordship, and I know we don't use the word lordship around here a lot, so just if you don't know what lordship means, basically means as we follow Him closer, as we grow in our faith. That's what it means. So as we grow in our faith, we find a new empty place. This one is the shape of the people He loves, and it will be filled and galvanized by the mission He has given us. So we don't pursue impact for the ordinary reasons of fame or impressing someone. We don't pursue it out of a sense of obligation. We're chasing that deep gladness that comes when we address the needs that God has set before us. 1 John 3:18 says it this way. It says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." So we show our love by our actions. And so here's the bottom line today. Love should have real-world consequences. Love should have real-world consequences. If we're following Christ and we know how much He loves us, we need to love others. And that love, it's not something that we just sit around and keep to ourselves. It needs to be something we share. We need to have love needs to have real-world consequences. And really, this is our faith. This is our faith working itself out in love. And that always changes the world. You know, and like for me, it's a lot easier to say, I don't have time, than to say, well, I really just don't love them enough to do anything about it. It's easier for me to say, I don't have any talents or gifts that God can use, instead of, I just don't have enough faith that God can use me. I'm too flawed. And now I'm not, you know, that's not to load a bunch of guilt on you. You can't do everything for everybody, and that's not what I want you to do, and that's not how you, that would not be a servant's heart. It would be more of a Messiah complex. But the fact remains that God has called us to love, and that love should have real-world consequences. And not only, in addition to love having real-world consequences, there's also a certain attitude that God asks us to have. And it's found in Mark 10:43. It says, "But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant." And Rick Warren has a great quote that I think will really help you apply this verse. It says, "Your servant's heart will reveal your maturity. No special talent or gift is required to stay after a meeting to pick up trash or stack chairs. Anyone can be a servant. All it requires is character." Now, a great example of this, earlier in the week, I was walking through the warehouse, and there's Jordy, our high school youth guy, and he's on his hands and knees, and he's got this vacuum, and he's vacuuming the stage. And I walk in there, and I'm like, oh, I got to take a picture of this. This is awesome. He's like, oh, no, don't take any pictures. Just get out of here. So I left and then snuck back in when he wasn't looking and took a picture. As you can see, he's not looking. But you know, that's a servant heart, doing those little behind-the-scene things when no one sees you. Because service doesn't look for a spotlight. It doesn't require a pat on the back. In fact, it needs no recognition. I didn't realize that was such a hard word to say until right there. Service needs no recognition because real service is an act of faith. Every act of service at its center is an act of faith. Because when you serve without thought for what you can get out of it, when you just serve and you're not thinking about what I can get back from this, you're telling God that you believe He rewards those who seek after Him. And so that's how service becomes an act of faith. And so how do you know whether you're all in? How do you know whether your faith has real-world consequences? Because love should have real-world consequences. How do you know that your faith has that? So I'm going to give you a few simple steps that you can take to go all in. You know, you can't win if you've ever played poker, even if it was for pennies or sunflower seeds or whatever. You know that if you don't invest something, you have no chance at winning. It's the same with serving. If you don't invest something of yourself, you're not going to be able to serve others. We have to be willing to invest ourselves. And so the first thing is find your gift. The Bible makes it clear that we've all been given a gift. And so, you know, this is not the time for that false humility, like, oh, there's nothing I'm good at, I'm not talented, or whatever. Everybody has been given a gift by God, and when you say you don't have a gift, you're contradicting God, who says you are gifted. And basically what you are is a manager of the gifts that God has given you. They may be great or small in your eyes, but they matter to God, and you have one, and God expects you to use it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So again, everybody has a gift. Everyone is expected to use their gift. Now, maybe you're like, I don't know my gift. What is my gift? Well, if you ask those around you what your gift is, they could probably give you a pretty good idea. But if you're like me and you like all those online tests and you like to find things out about yourself, go to reality.church/serve and click on Find Your Spiritual Gifts box, take the test, and it will tell you what your spiritual gifts are, and now use that gift. Don't just sit there like, oh, I got the gift of hospitality. I wonder what I could do with that. You could host a life group. You could welcome people at the front door. So in case you're wondering, they all fit somewhere in this puzzle. So take the test. Now you know your gift. Now use it to serve one another well. The second thing, so find your gift, and then find your why. Find your why. Now you may have multiple gifts, and so you maybe aren't sure the best way to use them. So here's a way to find your why. Is there something that just really gets you fired up? There's just something that bugs you. There's just like, man, that just bugs me. Why isn't anyone doing anything about that? We talk, sometimes we call it holy discontent. Sometimes we say it's your Popeye moment, you know, where you just can't stands no more. So you're going to do something about it. You know, last week Robert talked about his Popeye moment, which led to starting the Re-Engage marriage for our ministry. For married couples, our ministry to married couples. And so whatever that is, find that why. It is God Himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, He planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. So in case you're wondering, you know, if God needs your help, actually He planned on you helping, okay? He didn't just like, man, how am I going to use this person? He planned it from long ages ago. So it's always been in the plan for God to use you in His service or to serve others. So if something bugs you, you know, you may be the only one who can do something about it. That's your why. So there you go. So find your gift, find your why, and find your where. Now, at Reality Church, we've got all kinds of wares. We've got global wares, we've got local wares, and we've got within Reality Church wares. And we've got a lot of opportunities for you to serve within all those three areas. But honestly, that doesn't even include serving your neighbor or serving your classmates or serving your co-workers, whatever that might be. Because, you know, quite frankly, that may be our greatest opportunity to serve someone is with those people that only we know. No one else in here may know your neighbors or your friends, and so don't overlook that area of service. But we also We also want to provide you with opportunities to serve. And so you want to impact the world? How about joining us on one of our mission trips? We'd love to have you join us in Jamaica this spring from March 11th to the 18th. It's over spring break. Your kids will be out of school. That's one opportunity. We're also looking at the possibility of going to Rome to help Lauren Kish with her ministry over there. And also we're long-term looking at going to Colombia. And so there's going to be lots of opportunities for you to make an impact on the world stage. So, I got an idea. I think this is a great idea. How about instead of going to a beach in Florida and relaxing during next year's spring break, you go to a beach in Jamaica for about an hour and a half, and you invest in the lives of teenage girls who we are trying to get off the streets and out of the sex trade. See, that's a family vacation that your family is never going to forget, okay? Eventually, they'll probably forget about the beach and which year it was, but they're never going to fit. They're never going to forget the impact they made when they spent a week in Jamaica. In the book Revolutionary Parenting, the author says there are two keys to helping your kids stay in the faith. Number one is going to church together. Number two is serving together, serving others together. You want to keep your kids in the faith? Focus on those two things. So, it wouldn't be right if I told you to come to Jamaica with me and I didn't help you get there. So here's how I'm going to help you get there. This year at Christmas, instead of buying a bunch of electronic gadgets for your kids, use that money to take them to Jamaica. You know, skip your vacation, take your vacation in Jamaica, and guys, you're going to have a life-changing mission experience. And I would just strongly encourage you to get aboard one of our mission trips. I realize some of you can't join us in Jamaica. I mean, it'd be awesome if I could take all 800 of you. I can't imagine what all we could get done, but I know it's not going to happen. But, man, we could actually charter our own jets. That would be so cool. My head distracted me right there. I'm sorry. So maybe you can't go to Jamaica, but you can fill a box for Operation Christmas Child, right? And we're going to be offering you that opportunity again in the end of October, November. And the thing is, when you fill an Operation Christmas Child, and our church filled like at least 600 of them last year, every time that box is given to a kid, they share the gospel with them. And so 600 kids last year heard the gospel because you guys gave shoeboxes, which is something that we can all do. And who knows? Just think. I mean, if all those people give their life to Christ, that's 600 new people in the kingdom because you guys filled a shoebox. So don't let those opportunities to have an impact pass you by. Maybe you're thinking, okay, the world's a little too big for me. Roger, you got anything a little more local? That would seem a little more doable for me. Well, actually, we do. We have the Big Live that's coming up September 23rd through the 25th. And starting today, you can sign up. There's all kinds of sign-up sheets up out there. We have over 40 sites and over 600 volunteer slots available for you where you can make a difference in our community. And I'm telling you, the variety is endless. We have painting, baking, yard work, playing games, washing wheelchairs. We had someone that actually knew what that involved last service. So, you know, washing wheelchairs, something completely unique from anything we've done before. You can give blood, you can run a race, you can visit with someone who needs a friend, et cetera, et cetera. And so, guys, don't miss those opportunities to serve. Robert said something last week about our mindset when serving that I thought was a drop the mic line. And in referring to the child care coordinator for Reengage, he said, she doesn't think of it as watching kids. Rather, she thinks of it as saving a marriage. So don't think of it as painting a wall. Think of it as bringing hope to someone in need. Don't think of it as playing a game. Think of it as bringing comfort to someone who's lonely. And also, think about volunteering to help with childcare at Reengage, because right now we've had to shut off registrations because we don't have enough childcare. So again, guys, there's so many opportunities for us to serve locally, and we're going to talk about opportunities in the church as well. The Big Live is a great way for you to find a place where you can serve. It's a great way for you to experience different things and maybe find your Popeye moment where you're like, you know what, this ministry just resonates with me so much that I want to do this on a monthly basis or a weekly basis or whatever. You see, we don't want the Big Live to be the end. We want the Big Live to be the start. We want the Big Live to just be an on-ramp to get you out there serving somewhere, and then you find what you're passionate about, and then you just keep going back again and again and just, you know, immersing yourself in that ministry and into changing those lives. We've got 40 different things out there because we know there are so many different types of people, and we want you to find something that you can just plug into time and time again. At the Big Live, we cancel all three of our Sunday services. We're going to have one service here that night at 5:00 just to celebrate. It's going to be a big old party. And so I guess that's how important we think serving is. We're willing to cancel services to give you the opportunity to serve. My wife, Charnel, had her Popeye moment when she met Gina from the Bethlehem House. And since then, she has been relentless in helping them and helping our church connect to this ministry. And here's a video about the impact you've had on the lives of those living in the Bethlehem House.
The Bethlehem House is located here in Omaha, Nebraska. We've been open since January 22nd, 2005. So a little over 10 years, going on 11. It is a pro-life maternity home that was specifically and strategically open to give women who choose life for their unborn child a home. And what Reality Church has done in connectiveness of some of our needs is they've really lovingly just reached out and said, "What do you need done?" And it's kind of a loaded question for somebody like me because truthfully, it's all encompassing. We're open because we're a home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there's not really a shutoff button. And when women move into the Bethlehem House, I promise them, our staff promises them, that we're not going to abandon them. We're going to work through problems and we're going to figure this out. If they do their part, we'll do our part. We teach them how to fish. So we want to make it the best home environment possible. The Bethlehem House was actually built in about 1940, so it was a very old building when we acquired the building. So we did the bare minimum with some volunteers just to get up and running. So now that we've been up and running 11 years, it's very lived in, which is a very good thing because we've served so many women, but it's very, very lived in. And so when Reality Church stepped up and said, "What do you need done?" it was almost overwhelming to even answer because there was so much that needed to be done. And it's hard to ask sometimes because the work is not glamorous, the work is hard, and sometimes when people want to volunteer, they want to leave with these great feelings of, "Man, that was awesome." And I was a little bit worried because I was wanting the people that volunteered to really feel their impact, but what they've done was redecorate, restructure, re-coordinate some of the rooms, repurpose the rooms that some of the women have lived in. And each woman that lives at Bethlehem House gets her own bedroom. And what Reality Church did was turn these bedrooms into just the most welcoming, loving, beautiful bedrooms that anybody here, me myself included, would feel blessed to be able to live in. So these bedrooms are so beautiful and so decorated with love that when you walk in, you feel that immediately. I can't thank enough, nor do enough. That would have never, first of all, gotten done. I don't think the volunteers that did it really realize, I hope they do, but what impact that is making in somebody's life when they are homeless and they walk into that beautiful bedroom and feel the beautiful, comfortable peacefulness of what it feels like to be there. The other people that came on about a 110 degree day and chopped weeds in our backyard, again, when I say not glamorous, this is service work at its best. I cannot tell you that we've put out email after email, call for help, and just said, you know, we have these weeds, the neighbors are complaining. Obviously, most of the staff at Bethlehem House, all the staff is female, so it's hard, and we're all working 24 hours a day, really responding to family needs of the ladies, so some of the other stuff does go overlooked. When Reality Church saw our wish list, not only did they come in forces, but they came, I mean, immediately, they tackled the problems, and it's just, it chokes me up because when I see the finished product, it's just, what can we do to give back? And the ladies, on a resident scale, when they see the volunteers in action and they see this is the first time in their life, and this is words from our residents, because I told them where I was coming today and what I was going to be talking about, and I asked them what they thought about the volunteers from Reality Church coming and doing the bedrooms and the yard and everything else, and they said they've never met people like that. Do people actually care that much that they come out to serve on inconvenient times, hot days, to do this for us? So the example that your volunteers, that your congregation, that the people from Reality Church are setting is unprecedented.
Yeah. So my wife has had another volunteer from the church that's helped her with a lot of that, and she's sitting right over there, Katie Prestito, and so the two of them have been coordinating all these efforts. And the one story that Gina also told, she brought a resident to her room, and it was the kind of the turquoise, white, gray room or whatever. And she brought her in there, and the lady literally just fell to her knees and said, "This is incredible. This is awesome. I don't deserve this." And so, guys, who'd have thought painting a wall would help someone maybe understand grace a little better? But that's what it did. And again, there is so much more. They have 11, well, okay, so last service I said they had 21 rooms, and we've done two of them, and honestly, we want to redo all 21 of them. But then I found out there's actually only 11 rooms, so we want to redo the other 9 and then build them 10 more, which changes things a little bit. It might take a little longer. But either way, we are redoing another room this weekend, and amongst all the big live stuff at one of the tall round tables, there's information about that, and we would love to have you join that team that's making that impact. And so, again, sometimes we do these things and we're just like, is it having an impact? Is it making a difference? And the answer is yes. Yes, it is. Anytime we model grace, we're making an impact. Another impactful opportunity is serving right here at Reality Church. It takes a lot of volunteers to serve all the ministries we offer here at the church. And if you consider this your home church, and you're not serving somewhere, we have a problem. Well, actually, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 21 and 27, because it's not really me that has the problem with you so much as this guy we serve. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with us, the body of Christ. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So everyone here is a part of the body of Christ. If you've given your life to Christ, you're a part. If this is your home church, you're a part of this body. And if any one of us are not doing our part, then we're not going to reach as many people for Christ as we can. We're not going to have the impact in our community that we can, because the body of Christ is dependent on each of us doing our part, on each of us serving and using our gifts where the way that God has gifted us. And, you know, once we've found our why and our what and our where and all those things, we need to get plugged in and we need to be doing a part of that. If you aren't serving somewhere within Reality Church, again, it's very simple. Go to our website, reality.church/serve, and fill out a My Impact profile. And that we will get you plugged in. We will get you serving somewhere. We'll get you using your gift somewhere. Maybe you want to become a greeter. What I would say is, don't think of it as saying hello to someone. Think of it as welcoming someone who may be coming to church for the first time ever, and today is the day they began to follow Jesus. Because that's happened before, where people came for the first time, they felt welcome, they heard the gospel, and they gave their life to Christ. You want to run a camera? Don't think of it as running a camera. Think of it as creating a video that may be seen by someone who can't get to church, and because of that video, they begin to follow Jesus. You want to host a life group? Don't think of it as, I got to get my house cleaned up because I'm hosting a life group. Think of it as, today I'm welcoming people into my home, clean or uncleaned, so that they can become a part of a life-changing community. We aren't asking you to serve for our personal benefit. We're asking you to serve because Jesus is asking you to serve. And really, he's not asking so much as telling, by the way. So the last one, find your gift, find your why, find your where, find your when. And so this one's pretty short. I'm just going to suggest now. Like, now, find your when. You see, serving others, it's baseline Christianity. It's the basics. It's not, you don't have to be a super Christian to serve. You don't have to be a super Christian to make an impact. It's the very baseline. It's the reason God has given us gifts is to serve others. And there's no reason for you not to start today. There's no reason that you don't start serving today. Do you feel the pull to live a life of significance? A life that will make an eternal impact? Here's how you know you're feeling a pull instead of a push, because I'm not trying to push you into serving. I'll admit I tried pushing you into life groups, and I'm going to continue to do that, but I'm going to try and pull you into serving, because there's already this overwhelming desire that resides in your core. See, this is what I know about all of you. I know that you want to be a world changer. I know that God created you to be a world changer. So I'm giving you permission to be a world changer.